Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Episode 51. I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me today is...
Pat!
And Cat in Hat.
Yay! We always get excited when the cat in the hat is here.
I'm getting a haircut, so...
Our producer, Andy, is also here with us today.
Andy in Hat.
She waves. today, we will be just going over some general comic book news. We're going to discuss our overlords, Disney, and then we, might just have a little laughs along the way because we're all kind of having spastic mornings today. But first, we're going to go to the top of the stack, talk about the things we either read first or are cheating and just wanted to talk about. So... I'm going to lead with Silver Surfer Black number 3. It's written by Donny Cates with art by Trad Moore, and this is my favorite Marvel book on the market right now. Possibly my favorite book that's out. There's a lot. Comics are really good right now, and there's almost too much to read. The embarrassment of riches. But anyway, this is continuing Silver Surfer's adventure after falling through the black hole at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy number 1. And this is really exploring the mind of a god. I'm going to show off just a crazy page here in the studio, but he has a nightmare and views himself as the destroyer of his home planet,
even though it was Galactus. Opening mouth thing that freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of like super psychedelic artwork in this, but what they do with the board in this story is fucking amazing. I was losing my mind, like, what the power cosmic can do and people exploring what that is and the degradation of Silver Surfer's body into the black. It's just really nuts and really, really fun. I enjoy every bit of it. I'm generally the guy who doesn't like panel breaks and crazy layouts. But when you have an artist that's skilled at telling it and the story serves the psychedelic nature of breaking all of the panels, it's just a joy to behold. It also confirms it reaffirms an idea I've had since the first issue. And I'm going to go a little spoiler here, but I'm pretty sure Silver Surfer fell to the beginnings of the Marvel Universe. I think he fell through the black hole through time and is sort of witnessing things that he shouldn't be witnessing. Which will mean that, unfortunately, he's going to live for a very, very long time as the Black Racer. So, yeah, this is kind of crazy stuff.
Now when I sit and think about it, which you're right, because I said a similar thing after I read it.
Yeah, especially after the first one, I was like, what is going on here? And then after this, I'm definitely thinking.
For sure. So, and then, like, reading it, too, I'm like, well...
Yeah.
So I guess there's two of them, but there won't be two of them because of other things, and now my head hurts.
Yeah, and the universe is vast, you know, so he can spend a lot of time elsewhere. Also, awesome cameo supporting character in Ego, the Living Planet.
Yeah, right.
Like, just really cool, literally going inside of Ego.
I really want to know if Trad Moore, like, is taking drugs while drawing this, or he's just that creepy.
Yeah, I hope more people know the Trad Moore after this book, because it's so wild. It's just so wild to see the way that he visualizes this. This is definitely something I couldn't replicate, and so that, for me, is joyful. Like, to just be able to read something and see an art that I'm like, I have no idea how to approach something like this. No idea.
I know this is going to sound weird coming from me, but I'm usually not a big fan of, like, psychedelic artwork.
I'm not either.
But, like, this is... There's a few artists that pull it off really well, but a lot of... Maybe I'm just, like, I'm just desensitized to it, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, I took a bunch of drugs, and now I draw these weird shapes and, like, vibrant colors. But I feel like it really works.
Yeah.
Here, and he does a really good job with it. And it's not just like, ooh, here's a bunch of crazy colors and shapes. It's like, these are some crazy colors and shapes, but there's a purpose for all of their crazy colors.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like,
That's true. That's a valid point.
Like, microscopic stuff that has been blown up into gigantic versions of like amoebas and, you know, like cells. And,
yeah. It totally has that vibe going.
Which makes sense because he's going into Ego, so there's this idea that, you know, going inside of a giant living organism is kind of oversized versions of smaller organisms. And there's this weird thing where there's like these two deer-looking amoeba things. Like,
I don't even know.
It's this weird, like, sci-fi fantasy element to it, where it's just like...
What superhero story is being sci-fi?
Right? But, like, hard line on both. Mm. You know, like Miyazaki fantasy mixed with, like, hard sci-fi. So,
with, like, some Arthur C. Clarke sci-fi.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, so, really cool book. I really recommend this. This is one of those where if you come and see me in the shop at Griffin Games and Comics, I will hunt down 1 and 2 in whatever forms I can to get to you so you can get to 3. Because I think this book is incredible.
You keep trying to push 1 and 2 in my hand, and I tell you I already have them. You're like, buy these, Patrick. I'm like, I already have that.
Yes, exactly.
Again.
But do it one more time. All right. Well, those are my thoughts.
Yes. It is a cool book, for sure. Kat, what about you? What was your top of the stack?
So, we've been gone for a little bit now, and I'm not... So, the fun part is we'll be talking about these later in its own little episode, but I have to bring it up anyways, because I've read every week the Powers of Ten, House of X, and then Powers of Ten 2. I read all 3 of those every single week. I got them in my hand. They were the first thing I read, because... Talk about a mindfuck.
Yeah, seriously, like...
So, Kat, you want to talk to the viewers about Marvel's events and their weekly release schedule some more? Or do you want to...
This one I'll forgive.
Yeah, okay, I have to say that, because I'm in the same boat, like, honestly.
I was actually really pissed off about it, but at the same time, like, I'm going to forgive it, because after this, I'm not, you know, I think they go to a monthly release.
I'm just cracking up, because you... Because I'm just throwing this out there, but y'all do nothing but shit on these events and the weekly release schedule, and then...
But I wasn't shitting on Hickman. I was just shitting on Marvel.
Yeah, because they could have done this over a year, in all reality, because it's 12 books. They could have done it over a year, and then they're like, no, we're going to do it all at once. I'm like, or, and this is me just spitballing, you could not do that.
Right.
I know when they are doing it. Are you any less excited for that?
Or? I'm worried about what's going to happen after.
Yeah, like...
they're doing 3 sets of, like, X-Men superheroes, so I'm worried about it after. Right now, I'm just going to live in the moment, enjoy it. Hopefully, by 6 of both of them, I'm not ready to, like, tear someone's head off over it. But...
Well, I didn't know, like, how much philosophy I needed in my, like, comic books and, like, in my daily life, because it feels like I'm in the same boat. Really, these are my top of the stacks for the past few weeks, because there's so much story and it's so deep there.
And I guess the other part of it is he's actually doing something with the X-Men that I care about, because we had X-Men Red and that was the only one I cared about.
It's weirdly inviting for something that is so deep cut.
Oh my god.
Like, you do want to read them, but it is really, like, it's so deep and there's so, like, so many hits that are character references that I'm sure I'm not even getting, but I'm enjoying the story anyway.
It's going to be a really odd question, too. I'm curious how they're going to package these when they do trades.
It'll be really interesting.
I was thinking about that, too. I figured they'd probably do 1 of each.
But they're one book that is one. He keeps saying, or 2 books that are one. So
yeah.
I think a 12-issue trade, just stack it.
Probably.
Just, like, switching between issues.
Putting them in the order that they're supposed to be read in.
Honestly, like,
I was thinking if you had, like, 2 trades and you just said both of these are happening at the same time.
Sort of, but kind of, but
that could work. But
my big thing is, like, I think the reason that I am fine with this is because this isn't... It doesn't feel rushed, and on top of that, I think the other part of it is Jonathan Hickman is the one who's pretty much making me want to read these in that 12-week status. There are very, very few, very few comics I feel that about.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Which artist do you prefer? House or Powers?
That is another question. Actually, I prefer Scotty Young if this was all in Scotty Young.
Great. Yeah, Kat and I both have gone for the Scotty Young variant covers for the entirety of the series thus far.
I honestly don't know, because...
How old is Scotty Young?
I think he's about 40, or he's just under,
Honestly, I'd have to say probably Powers of Ten, because I like how Xavier looks more. In this one, he looks very spindle. I don't know how to explain it, but I don't...
So you're more R.B. Silva?
Uh-huh, I think so. I don't know if you're on the other side.
I'm on the other side, actually, yeah. I think because I like the dark line work of the...
That's probably what it is I'm not usually super strong on dark line work. now that I look at it, because you're right.
And I think strong that's, line work.
Where am I?
So I'm a bigger fan of Pepe Larraz's artwork on that series.
I mean, they're both good, but I think I leaned more towards the Powers one.
I was surprised by how similar they felt as I was going through.
Oh, yeah, me too. And that's why when you said that, I was like, they are different. You're right. I'm like, I like this one more.
Yeah. It's an interesting sci-fi. I'd say it's a hardline science fiction.
Yeah, and I think that's probably, yeah. This is, I think that their saving grace is Jonathan Hickman and after.
He had an idea, and when you have somebody with a strong idea, it works. We're almost doing a pseudo review, but we haven't done any details with this. It's like that's a kind of a fun take on that is the fact that you literally can just sort of surface level be like, I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, what was your topic stack?
It's funny that you should mention that because I was just gonna throw in Stan's soapboxes that they've been reprinting this month's. I feel like they do like a new one every month or so.
I think so.
And this one was specifically about his like, y'all always ask us where we come up with our kooky ideas, and let me tell you, friend, you can come up with a million ideas standing around the water cooler, but unless you actually put in the time and the effort and run with it, then that idea ain't worth bunk.
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know, how Stanley talks.
Right. I like that. I like that a lot. It's that very much of...
For some reason, I had a 50s little spinning wheel as you're talking, listening to this.
Hey there, buddy. Coming up to us, Marvel creators. We're some wacky dudes.
Last time in The Legend of Korra.
Sorry. No, that's exactly. So it's just, you know, talking about ideas, and it's really true, you know. You have a million ideas for a million great stories, but until you stick with one and, like, see it all the way through and work with it, then, you know.
But the other half of this is you're right, I do complain about all their events. War of the Realms, I'm still salty about it. But they also took away X-Men Red for me to give me this, and I was like, fine, we'll see what it is. You win.
I'm with you, too, because I'm a huge fan of X-Men Red. Uh-huh. And they definitely, like... Bringing back Jean without the Phoenix Force, still the best decision they've made in a long time.
Oh, I agree.
Interesting. So, interesting.
Yeah. Her own character. Again.
Yes.
Not, yeah. Well, sorry to bring down the mood here, but I'm not going to talk about an X-Men book. I honestly can't decide. For me, last week was such a big... Like, this week there was a bunch of great comics, and we're going to be reviewing them in later episodes. But for me, the two that really stuck out was Doom Patrol number 2 and Sea of Stars number 2. Especially, I mean, Doom Patrol just continues to be Doom Patrol. So if you like the most weird thing on the shelf, then
that is an accurate statement. I read the first one, and I was like, I...
Yeah, when it says the world's weirdest superheroes,
it's not hyperbole.
Not talking itself up at all. So that's really all I have to say about that. But Sea of Stars, Jason Aaron.
Jason Aaron and Dennis Allen.
Yeah, I thank you for getting that real quick. Everybody working on this book, really, you know, Stephen Green, Rico Renzi as well. I'm usually not the biggest art guy, but this book can't be talked about without mentioning both of them.
Where did Stephen Green come from? Like, I feel like he's just out of nowhere now, like this artist that is totally on my radar because of this book.
Yeah, and I honestly can't tell you off the top of my head what he's done before.
Me neither.
But just this whole... I feel like this book is... Jason Aaron reading a bunch of, like, 1800s nautical fiction, like, a la Moby Dick.
And, right.
That kind of genre, and then wanted to make that. But they were like, we've already had every single book you can have about ships and sailors and stuff. He's like, okay, but what if it were space?
That seems so simplistic, but I feel like you're right.
I know, and it's like, this book that's... kind of one of the beautiful things of it. It's a very simple story. I hate to say that because everything in it is so complex and deep cut, but like the story in and of itself is a very simple idea.
Yeah.
It's a father and son shipwrecked, and the father is trying to find the son. Meanwhile, the son doesn't know his father is alive. Boom. That's the whole plot.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Yeah, exactly. But to call this simplistic is definitely...
Yeah.
A disservice? I feel like it's a compliment at the same time.
I think it's
time.
An undersell.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not a disservice to it, because it's like, it is the hard line, like the basic concept is a simple concept, but it's what it does within that concept that makes it worthwhile.
And then we get, at the very end of this too, we get a reveal of what seems to be the big bad, but what they say is... really weird, because they say something along the lines of, blessings of the sacred solar rains. That boy, he has all the signs, the same glow, it must be him. We found him, Sunhawk. We found the missing god of the Zaztecs. So, like...
yeah.
He's a god now to some ancient race of space people or something like that?
Space people.
Yeah.
Which, apparently, space phoenix is totally a thing.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm down.
And, you know, Jason Aaron may or may not be taking tips from previous jobs.
Right. I like this book a lot.
It's great. It's a great book.
It is one of those, too, that you pour over the art, too. Like, you pause on pages and just start looking at what's in the scene. And it's not like they're, like, crazy backgrounds or anything. It's just the way that the foreground elements are rendered are so... they're so intricate, and there's so much cool line to everything.
Yeah.
Stephen Green's really great at drawing cloth folds, too. Like, there's like, characters from, like, the crumples and the folds and all that stuff just looks really good.
They're all where they should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny that you mentioned that. Just a great book. I have only glowing things on it. And, just on the cover, this has nothing to do with, like, the rest of the book, but I was kind of getting a Middle West vibe from the dad.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting his name now. But it was weirdly Middle West-y. And I hope that's not, like, the same direction that he's going in, because it's a very different tone.
Yeah, it seems like this is more of an absentee father and not a bad father scenario. At least that's what I got from it. It was like he's just a working dad who was trying to do good for his wife and kid, and that meant he wasn't around.
Yeah, yeah. No. So
whereas the father in Middle West is
Fuck that dude.
Thank you, Kat.
Yeah, he's an a-hole.
Cutting straight to it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're man. Welcome.
Cool. I did not expect to have that much to say about it, actually, for a quick review.
But. You know, that's cool, because it's a book I love, so any moment that we get to talk about it together, I think is fun for me. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, with our Top of the Stack stuff, maybe we should get into some news.
Yeah.
We don't really have any...
I have to apologize to you guys. We're going a little out of format here. I am ill-prepared. Had a kind of a weird last week, kind of a shitty last week, so... yeah, I'm gonna hand it over to Pat and Kat to just sort of take the reins. I'm not gonna be reading everything off this time. So,
I think the big thing is it's also after San Diego, so there we do always run into a news drought after San Diego. It's just a commonality, because, like I said, I think I went through 20 pages of Newsarama, and I'm like, I don't care. This is nothing. Oh, more comic stuff. I read those.
Yeah, and I feel like there's less of a through line for all of it. It's just a bunch of, like, random
stuff. Just fattering of stuff.
Anywho, well, with that, let's start the smattering.
Yay!
The thing I was mostly weirded out, or excited for, excitedly weirdly exciting, apparently there's a new podcast coming out of Marvel and Stitcher called Marvels. And I don't even know that Marvel was in the line of, like, live action, of, like, podcast acting, but this one caught my eye because apparently the main character, Ben Urich, in it is going to be voiced by Method Man.
What?
And Anna Sophia Robb is going to be also one of the main voice actresses.
That's cool. Yeah. So it's like a radio play, essentially?
Yeah, a radio play, a serial. and it's gonna be the late 90s Marvel's run where it's like post
Galactus. So they're actually doing Earth. It's literally the Alex Ross, Kurt Busiek.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Exactly. And so it's the Fantastic Four storyline.
Interesting.
I guess. And it's going to be into a radio play.
I have not heard that news. That's really interesting.
I just saw that the other day. I was like, what is
that? I'm wondering if you like pick up the trade paperback and just have it like read along with you, you know? Like,
yeah.
That would be super cool.
No, they audiobooked it.
Yeah, essentially. To see. And so, this is funny because this will be Method Man's second Marvel Universe appearance. He was in Luke Cage.
Oh, okay. That's
as Method Man.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
This is just like
what exists in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Because Star Wars is real inside of it too.
Apparently, rappers.
Rappers.
Yeah, rappers.
Rappers in science fiction films. I mean, you could do a lot worse.
I'm honestly waiting for Killer Mike to show up in one of them.
Oh my god! Anybody really? Yeah,
that's funny.
I just imagine those like studio meetings, like you know, all the like nerdy white Marvel like execs and Method Man is like, I want to do a podcast. Like, Mr. Method. what podcast?
That is an interesting. Like, all jokes aside, it would be really interesting if Method Man was like really did go into the office and was like, I want to do a Marvel's podcast. That's like my favorite comic from the 90s, so I want to do a podcast on it. It's like, because it's such an out there idea.
Yeah.
So, that's cool.
I mean, are you going to say no to Method Man? Because I wouldn't. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
If there's one thing I know about the Wu-Tang Clan, it's that you should not fuck with them.
Yeah.
there's a couple things I know, but that is definitely solidly one of them.
All right. What's next?
So I've kind of flipped through. One of the things I found out is Greg Pulo on Twitter announced that he just re-signed with DC, and him and Scott Snyder aren't done yet as a creative duo, so I'm super stoked.
Where would you want them to go next?
Ooh.
I want them to go to a different character, but I don't know who I would want them to go to. That's kind of the hard part that I have right now, so I'm like, Superman? But maybe that'd be interesting, but Bendis is doing so well. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, well, So it's like a thought process on that one. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, because Capullo I so closely associate with Batman, even more so than Snyder. Like, I associate Capullo's design with. But, I mean, maybe a Wonder Woman book would be interesting from them. I like the way that they handle, like, badass leader of the Resistance Wonder Woman in Last Night on Earth. But.
Well, they can also... honestly, if they did, like, a story outside, kind of like they're doing right now with Last Night with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, because if they did her Court of the Owls, I want to see what that would be.
Well, that would be really interesting.
Because that sounds insane, and I feel like it just, like, some...
How would she deal with, like, the cult of her...
That something. Yeah, exactly.
That would be interesting, as if there was a sect. Now we're writing fan fiction. Is there another like grouping of characters, or even like I'm thinking about Capullo's art. Like, what would I want to see him?
He's always got a. He seems to have a darker edge, and maybe it's because I also associate him with Batman too. Because of I do like his bat suit a lot.
Yeah.
But
you know what I'd really like to see, now that I'm thinking about it? Like, a story of somebody, but told through, like, an incidental perspective. Like, something along the lines of, like, a Superman story, but through, like, Jimmy Olsen's point of view.
They're doing that right now.
Done by Capullo.
Oh.
Sort of. His is his real like, one.
Or maybe, like, an Alfred story.
I'd be game for an Alfred
You know story. What? I think that would gear too close to Batman, though, and I'm pretty sure that they do not, like, Last Night's It. That's what they're doing for Batman.
Fair enough.
Because they've been...
And I don't... Yeah, so, honestly, Wonder Woman sounds good. I'm trying to think of a character that they could do that it's hard because I do.
Put him on Nightwing and get rid of the fucking shit that they've got going on in the comics right now.
Oh my god, yes, go to Nightwing. I'll
fix,
take it.
Fix Nightwing, please.
I can see it. Honestly.
Let's show some love for the Titans and not fucking try to kill them or make them homicidal maniacs.
I mean, but, you know, who isn't a homicidal maniac every now and then?
Superman?
Okay, wait. you say that now, but why does Batman have, you know, kryptonite on his belt?
That's true.
Because poison ivy. How many times has Superman been mind controlled into killing a bunch of people randomly?
Yeah,
way too often. Yeah. That's why Lex Luthor isn't exactly wrong.
Interesting.
Sorry, I'm getting so off track here.
Yeah. This is kind of the episode for us to get off track.
Yeah, right?
We're just
post San Diego.
Honestly, I can't say who I'd want him to go to next because all I can associate with him is Superman. Yeah. I know where I am.
Yeah.
All I can associate with him right now is Batman. So it'll probably take them telling me what they're doing for me to be like, maybe. Okay, I think
something
I
could be cool.
Oh,
I would be game for that because they haven't done a Swamp Thing book in a while.
Yeah, Snyder's written Swamp Thing before. He launched Swamp Thing with the New 52.
That's right.
They could do another Martian Manhunter book. But not.
I'm living too much in that one. I don't need another one.
Well, a different, obviously a completely different take, but now that the character's being reintroduced.
How far are you with Justice League? Are you caught up with that?
No, I'm about 3 issues behind.
No spoilers.
Yeah, you should read it.
Okay. Yeah, lots to catch up on.
Well, speaking of, you mentioned Titans, I guess. So, Titans Season 2 trailer finally dropped. I mean, this has been in the works for a while now, so it's not really a surprise,
We've got 3 weeks and it's released?
Yeah.
Is that the first
week of September.
Three weeks. I was right. Wow. Yeah, September 6th is when the first episode releases.
Damn. It's already coming up. Man, last season the cliffhanger was just stupid. That was like one of the stupidest, and by stupid I mean like really cliffhangery.
Yeah, like thanks for doing that, guys. You know,
one appreciates it is all I'm hearing in this room right now.
I liked it, but it was like you can't end on that big of a cliffhanger.
I'm pretty sure like they shouldn't have done that. I don't know why they did.
Yeah, it was. But now that this is coming out, and it seems like it's leaning really harder into the comic booky aspect of it.
Yes! The look of a lot of the characters, especially. I was so happy to see Wonder Girl in the red suit.
Me too. I was really shocked, too, because they're bringing back Jason Todd, and it looks like he's going to be a part of the Titans, too.
Titans are back, bitches!
Should have just been the whole trailer.
Yeah.
Really? Obviously, pelvic thrusting. Titans are back, bitches!
It is weird
to see a gif of that.
It's weird to see Ian Glenn not as Jorah Mormont. Like, that's just strange to me. Like,
who is he?
He's playing Bruce Wayne.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't quite get rid of the British accent, like just the way he was speaking. I was like, all right, well now Bruce is apparently from
Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense if he went to, like, prestigious boarding schools.
Well, and then,
kind of
like,
things.
Alfred, you know, was primary conversations, so.
You know, if you were raised by...
Isn't he blonde, too?
Ian Glenn?
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty much gray.
Yeah.
Is he gray? Okay, why do I feel like he was blonde? I don't know, it was just a little lighter hair color, probably what it was. But then again, old Bruce Wayne also has white hair, so it is what it is.
It is a weird thing, too, because, like... Based on where we were at the end of last season to seeing him and Dick Grayson just sort of walking down the halls of Wayne Manor, it just seemed so jovial and like, that's really
so
odd.
Jovial, yeah, just because they're walking together.
Well,
they're
just walking.
Killing people. They're
walking together and like, he's talking about how it's cool to see him reuniting with his new, his old friends, you know? Like, it was very like, it was an odd conversation based on like.
I'm really interested, like, I feel like this first season, they're like dark, edgy, dark. Second season. All right, we're just gonna have fun.
We're just gonna have a good time.
We're gonna fuck with you now.
Super. The jokes with like Raven being like, "So what are we? Titans 2?
Yeah, Titans 2.0.
And then Raven also has her jewel. Yeah.
He actually looks like Raven a lot more like Raven now. Yeah.
So. And then Deathstroke at the very end. I don't necessarily like the red eye that had the Deadshot eye thing, but the armor looks dope.
Yeah.
Like, it's straight out of the comics, and almost straight out of the 80s comics.
Did they say Deathstroke? For some reason, I want to say Deadshot.
Yeah, it was Deathstroke. Isai Morales is cast as Slade.
Did they,
Nice.
And Tim Drake, oh my god, that's not Tim Drake. I'm way too
Jason?
Many... I'm way too many Robins. One more.
Dick.
I meant to say Dick. And that's the other thing, too, because...
Oh, Stephanie. You were talking about Stephanie Brown, right? That's the Robin you were looking for?
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
You know, old Bruce Wayne definitely Damian exists, right?
So, there's, with Dick, though, he, oh my God, why am I saying, Deathstroke is Slade.
Yeah.
Slade. He should be saying, he's not me.
Him and Dick Grayson have had actual serious, like, that's his, one of his arch nemesis, isn't it?
Yeah, there's definitely, and there's a twinge in the trailer to them hinting at, I think a lot of the stuff that we're seeing with the other Titans, when we see Wonder Girl, when we see Aqualad, and then Hawk and Dove, I think we're looking at flashback stuff to the first iteration of the team. And I think we're going to jump back and forth, and that's why there's that Raven having that conversation with Dick. It's like, what are we, just Titans 2.0? So, and then I think they're hiding a lot of Grayson being in the Nightwing costume. Because if Jason Todd is Robin, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Grayson to also be Robin.
Yeah.
And, you know, he burned the costume at the end of season one, so.
Well, because we kept saying that that's what we expected the season two finale to sort of be, or season one finale to sort of be, was the reveal of Nightwing.
Yeah.
But since we didn't get that, instead got the stupidest cliffhanger ever.
So.
And by stupid, I mean really good.
Yeah. I hope they continue with the momentum of the first season. I enjoyed it. It took definitely getting its footing, but the season looks to be, well, it's still in production right now. Like, it's not, so they're shooting episodes to then have them be out really soon, which means a lot of practical effects, which is also really cool.
Nice.
And I think the first season did a good job with that, especially the batarang use. Man, I was so happy with that. Lots of batarangs getting thrown.
Nice. Yeah, totally jumping just into other news. Apparently, Idris Elba really wants to not be dead in Marvel movies.
Bring back Heimdall!
Yeah, so.
Well, he is a god, so in theory he should come back, right?
So, he seemed to be done with Marvel movies. He seemed, like, really burnt out on them, watching interviews, and they bring up his involvement as Heimdall, and he's like, yeah, sure, cool. I'm also, like, an Oscar-nominated actor, and
that's how it happened to multiple other awards. Val Kilmer for Batman, though, so that doesn't shock me, because apparently, from my understanding, he wasn't really cast in anything after being Batman, because he was Batman, and I was like, I could totally see that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Idris is, like, in so many things, too.
Yeah, he's
I don't know. He's
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad now as well. And, yeah. But
I mean, if there's anybody who could write a good reason, it would be Feige and Taika together. Could come up with something.
I think that's exactly what happened. Like, he heard that Natalie Portman was on board again to be Jane Foster Thor in that story. He probably read the script, too, and was like, please.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they might
be able to, like, this would be an interesting way to introduce the realm of the dead.
Yeah.
That's true.
And you could also get Hela back that way. Like, that could be, this could be, we went the direction of bringing him back into the normal plane and onto Midgard or New Asgard, but that might not be the way they go at all. It would take us into another realm, and Heimdall is there.
Well, aside from, like, not talking about the event of War of the Realms, but the Mighty Thor deals a lot with the realms warring, so she's literally going through all the different, the 10 realms, and trying to stop the Dark Elves' takeover of the whole tree of existence. So they could very easily do that.
Thor is that black space for me, because you're talking about Marvel, and then on top of that, you're talking about a mystical character.
I only know that one of those Thor. That's the only Thor mythology I know. So, which is going to be useful, apparently.
But I can tell, yeah, actually.
Yeah. So, on to other things, Marvel, I guess, not even closely related, though, is apparently Cloak and Dagger and the Runaways are now all on the same network, and they will definitely have a crossover to prove that.
That's we work awesome. Together.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, it's if they're gonna they're under the Hulu banner anyway, right?
And mm-hmm. So yes.
So
yeah, well, Runaways is specifically Hulu, and then Cloak and Dagger is Freeform, which mm-hmm. seems like it's trying to get folded into Hulu, or Hulu's trying to fold it into itself.
I'm pretty sure Disney owns Freeform. It used to be. I forgot what it used to be. I can't think of what it used to be. It used to be something else, though. It's easy to link the old name with
Free Jazz.
Yeah, with Free Jazz with with Disney. I just can't. ABC Family is what it used to be.
Okay.
So it used to be ABC Family, and now it's Freeform.
Wow, they really took a step away from the family part.
That's the thing, though. Is like all content. The shows that were on there. We're not family friendly. Like, I'm never, like, maybe a couple. And it was usually rerun shows.
Yeah.
Everything else was, like, teen drama slash... That's really about it.
Oh, man. That's silly. So, yeah, I'm excited to see it. I really like both of those shows. So, it's interesting now that's, you know... We'll talk a little bit about our Disney overlords here in a minute, but...
I mean, one last quick piece news, which I think everybody will be interested in. So we've got Disney, the Crisis on Infinite Earths coming for the CW shows, which we're going to have Kevin Conroy play old Bruce Wayne, which should be interesting. It'll be weird to actually, like, link a face with the voice that's not Batman.
It's, yeah, I mean, that's such a cool thing for him, because he's been voicing the character since 1992.
It'll be awesome. I'm just saying it'll also be weird. And then Black Lightning will also show up in that five-part episode crossover, too, and you'll have Brandon Roth reprising his role as Superman, as Kingdom Come Superman, and I'm like, what is going to happen in this show right now?
That's the big theory is there. The three that they've cast is Brandon Routh, mm-hmm. Kevin Conroy, and then Linda Carter.
Yep.
And they might be doing the three.
Who is Linda Carter?
Wonder Woman.
They're actually going to make her. I didn't read that.
Yeah. So and then this is rumor. So, uh-huh. but apparently they've been looking to get her. And
how can they not get her? She, like, agreed to Supergirl and was dropping so many Wonder Woman jokes.
But the three of them would be the three that at the end of Kingdom Come, where they meet in the superhero bar,
mm-hmm.
and you can have the three old characters, the originals.
What?
You can take my money.
Then you have you could have Bruce in the Vader armor that he has in Kingdom Come, where he's got, like, the neck piece and then the bracers mm-hmm. on all of his arms, and... Kevin Conroy's kind of a frail-looking guy.
He
so
is.
It works really well.
Not that it's one of those people I've never seen his face until now.
That's funny. I watched way too many special features of Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, that's crazy. That would be very interesting. Yeah, all the other CW superhero shows, I'm just like, meh. And then you say Black Lightning, and I say, yay!
Yeah.
I only watch The Flash now, but from my understanding with that, they're talking about saying that the whole Infinite Crisis is going to loom in that entire season. I'm like, I'm curious how that'll go then.
That might be interesting to check out, too.
I honestly have said before that I think the biggest problem with shows like The Flash is that it doesn't linger on stuff. The, like, Flashpoint was an episode, mm-hmm. you know? It would have been giving more... Cut the episodes down, or let storylines breathe longer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, I think...
See, that's exactly why Black Lightning is my favorite CW show. It's because it does just that. It doesn't do the villain of the week. It has
and it's a shorter episode. Or shorter season, right?
Yes.
Now that I'm thinking about it, because Supergirl and Flash and that shit, and that are...
They're 22.
About 22, yeah. This is just a 12.
Yeah, see, and that's much more akin to the way I think seasons should be broken down in our current TV structure that we have.
Yes. Other totally unrelated news, Kevin Hart is apparently going to produce his own original superhero show. I forget which streaming service it's for. It was
that's chocolate.
I want to say Amazon or
okay.
Netflix, something like that. But yeah, it's Nightwolf is going to be the superhero. So I have no idea. This is literally just announced. There's no other names really attached to this. But it's a Kevin Hart production, and he's starting to do some big moves.
Cool.
So
yeah, that's one I have. That's a crickets for me.
Yeah, it's like...
That's a no for me, dog.
And then, I guess, the last bit of news I have here is that apparently Quentin Tarantino may or may not be doing a Star Trek movie.
Yeah, this has been in the works for almost a year, but it's been sort of back and forth as to what was happening, and Tarantino announcing that he's only doing 10 movies, and maybe this would not be part of the 10 because it's not his original property, and now there's been a merger between MGM and another, like the different subsidiaries who've owned rights for Star Trek are now under one banner. So,
yeah. So
I love when mergers and copyrights start to play fun games with things that we may or may not get. Disney, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Speaking of Disney, there was an announcement. It's basically breaking that Ewan McGregor is in talks to come back as Obi-Wan Kenobi in a Disney Plus streaming series.
What?
Which is great, because I think to tell the story, once again, we're talking about letting things breathe, and a two and a half hour film may not be enough to see old man Kenobi walking around the desert. It might actually be better to do a 5 to 8 episode series where you really see this sullen soldier who's making sure that he's protecting the chosen child, you know? Like, there's a lot there for them to explore as the old wizard wandering the desert, so.
Hmm. And, interesting.
In my opinion, you don't do that series without Ewan McGregor. Like, that's absolutely
idiotic. Wrong.
Yeah. The best part of the prequels to not bring him back would be ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
So, and he's been talking for years that he would play the character again, so.
As far as the prequels, excuse me, Samuel L. Jackson, hold my license.
It's gotta be purple.
I've actually watched that, him talking about that. It's the funniest shit in the world, because yeah. That's all he did.
It's like, it's one of those great interpretations of, like, Lucas doesn't care too much about his own canon, so he's like, sure, we can have purple lightsaber, that's fine.
And then it spawned, like, a whole genre of sub-Star Wars fiction.
Oh, yeah.
Because they wanted it to be purple.
Yeah, it's like, now everybody has to justify why there's a purple lightsaber.
So yeah.
It's really cool. At least Disney has answered some aspect of that within their Star Wars storytelling. So.
Yeah. Which, you know, I'm somewhat glad about our new media overlords owning the whole world, because they can have any property into any other property now.
Yeah, right. It all can be connected.
Which is very nice, but at the same time, you know, I would rather not wear gray jumpsuits with everybody else with the Disney logo on the front.
How weird is that? Like, if we, because of Disney buying up everything, we end up having the THX 1138, like, future where everything is like antiseptic, and that was George Lucas's first film, so it's like God. Like you go like full circle, them buying Star Wars was the beginning of the end. They become by and large from WALL-E, they're the big corporate company that writing their own doom. It's really strange. I my concern now, as things are really happening with the Disney Fox merger, is the death of, like, Searchlight films. Well, and it's...
The also thing is, I keep seeing stuff about how people like, oh, I guess Deadpool can be PG-13, and I'm just like, I quit.
I have a big theory, like, how you do that, is you leave the Deadpool films in their own, like, thing, you make them R-rated movies, but you bring Deadpool into the Marvel Universe, and when he tries to curse, you literally have a word balloon pop over his mouth, bleeping him out, him being like, holy fucking shit, holy bleep and bleep bleep bleep, I'm in a Disney movie now, I can't do this. And, like, when he tries to fire a machine gun, like, confetti shoots out of it and shit. So, like, break the fourth wall with him, but don't acknowledge it for other characters. Like, he's literally locked into the environment that he's been put in.
I would love to see Ryan Reynolds. I just want Deadpool 3, because what was it, when Detective Pikachu came out, everyone was like, let's just thank Ryan Reynolds for doing Detective Pikachu, because now in the Deadpool movie, you know it's going to be talked about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, God, the amount of, like, his jokes, because they're part of Disney now, are bigger. Like, he can go so deep into Marvel Cut because they own all of it, so they can just say whatever they want to.
Yeah, I mean, he could reference, you know, the 90s or early 2000s Punisher movie.
Right.
And,
like,
just, well, it's like, all the Netflix shows. He's like, I'm going to cancel you like Jessica Jones.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. But, yeah, so there, there's these positive negatives. But, like, the smaller movies... Disney's having a problem right now with figuring out how to market Jojo Rabbit, which is a World War II satire about Hitler.
Oh, gosh.
And it's written and directed
by... Why would
by,
you have any problems marketing that?
Right, exactly, yeah.
I don't see
it's
like, that.
From something. The director of Thor Ragnarok comes Hitler, a comedy. Like, I don't, you know, like... I think this is one of those cases where they don't know...
Hitler, a comedy.
They clearly know what they have. They wouldn't have bought Fox for just simple reasons. They know what they've got. It's just how do you... Does Fox Searchlight just become Searchlight Pictures? Do you try to brand it without, you know, without the
honestly,
Disney name?
I'm sorry, I can't get out of my head. I just have to say, I imagine a 90s sitcom, but the bunker being the living room.
Oh,
and
God.
People coming in and out with the audience cheering. Oh, Goebbels, what are you doing in here? You know. Oh, Hitler, I just came to tell you that everything's going very badly up there.
Wow. Disney, please don't take us off the air.
Sorry, overlords.
I mean, honestly, I feel like they should... Because they can't put their brand on it, because they're like, we're family-friendly. I'm like,
It's different. It's different if you walk into a movie theater and, you know, you're going to see the comedy about Hitler. which, once again, saying this out loud is, it's very interesting. And you see a Searchlight logo come up and then underneath it, it says a Disney company, you know, like just in small print versus going in and the star jumps over the castle, you know? It's like, those are two different things, right? Like, you know the type of movie you're in when you see the crazy flashing comic book pages and the Marvel logo come up. There's a different expectation. You have a different expectation when you see the Pixar logo. So I think it's a matter of...
Well, I already start crying when the lamp pops on the eye.
Right, exactly. We haven't even gotten to the short movie yet.
Yeah.
So I it's weird. I don't want to lose movies like this. Like that can't happen. It's bad for cinema to lose films like that. But it is a business decision. How do they market something like this? And I don't know the answer.
I don't either. I'm not. I mean, it's kind of. I mean, I don't know. I've just hit this point where you've got DC Black Label, mature things, DC things for semi adults.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I think they have
Zoom.
They have a young adult one too. Mm. So they've got.
Well, we kind of mentioned
Disney
this.
Black Label.
Yeah, we mentioned this before on the show, but that they're trying to fold in Hulu into their.
They
mix,
own
and so,
the majority of Hulu now.
Yes, but if they have, you know, Disney and then Hulu, something like this specific separation, they can. Still,
you know,
have the mature content.
That's an interesting.
I feel as if they're trying to grapple with that,
right? I think Hulu Films would actually be a perfectly
probably
good way to do that.
Because all the mature content is supposed to go on Hulu.
Yeah, so you end up with all of those movies, and then when it comes to a streaming service, it doesn't come to Disney Plus; it goes to Hulu.
But they're essentially still part of the same umbrella.
They are doing a package deal too, where however much. I still haven't. I think they're doing. The only thing is though, is I don't want your sports stuff because I don't sports. And then the other half of it is I don't know if the Hulu has commercials or not, because if it does, I'm out again.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing. I'm wondering if they want to keep the commercials on Hulu, and that's kind of the way that they pay for something like Disney Plus in order to keep Disney Plus's costs down.
It might be something too, whereas if you just have Hulu, you'll get the commercials, but if you have both of them, then
you have the bundle.
Yeah, then it. We'll take them off.
Like I said, they're
like
you get ESPN Plus too. I'm like, I don't do sports.
I love this package as somebody who does sports. It's to be able to watch ESPN shows and then switch right over to watching Nat Geo and the Pixar short movies.
See, but then I have so weird. Then I get HBO stuff, which, mind you, HBO Max sounds like a porno site. They should really think of a new name.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, knowing HBO's track record for nudity.
Fair enough. I'll give you that one. That one sounds more interesting to me just for the stuff that they've said, and I'm just worried about its cost, because HBO by itself is already $15. We're important. Are you, though? Are you really?
Yes. Yeah. It is. We're in a Disney Plus, Disney Plus puts a lot of pressure on the other streaming services and us. Like, it's going to become very hard to decide what to have.
And I just keep seeing, I saw this one comic a few weeks ago, and it was basically like, gosh, I wish I had like a package deal for all of these, and it like, there's like a cable guy standing in the corner.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's cable plus DVR. That was your package!
Exactly. All right,
it's gonna be the exact same thing when people are, I wish I could just pay for the channels that I want, and, you know, not get all the other ones, and now streaming comes up, and everybody is, well, yay, we can just stream what we want. And now it's, dude, can we though?
Yeah. Can we though?
I know, it's like, you're going to be paying something like $60 if you got every package. So then you're essentially getting
cable again. Yeah. And then you have to have cable to have internet in most places.
Right. The only difference is that it's all on demand.
Yeah.
That's the paradigm that we, I like. To know that I can watch Stranger Things whenever I want to, and just go in and do that.
Well, as I'm pretty sure Kevin Feige once said, you can't always get what you want, but sometimes you get what you need.
Was that pretty Kevin sure. Feige or Amazon?
He runs all the phrases now. So.
Oh, okay, cool. It's the baseball cap, man. I don't wear baseball caps, and like, clearly they give you power, because I don't... That's a thing.
It's a secret.
But I've got good hair, so like, this is one of those like.
Are you trying to say about my hair now?
No, it's just, this is an internal thing I grapple with, is whether or not I just can't. I got moose in here. It's great, you know. Like,
Cat and Andy are over there in their baseball caps.
Yeah. Yes. Clearly, we know where the power in this room resides.
Oh my gosh! And it is with Disney, as always.
I think that's where we can end it then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thank you, overlords, for allowing us to stay on the air.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
I will definitely be seeing your films in theater, just not The Lion King again.
Yeah. I will see it because we all have to see it.
Oh, I have seen it already. I just mean again.
Yeah. We swear we're still loyal.
Yeah, so you should... I don't know. I don't know what we should do here. Maybe, hopefully Disney will keep us on the air.
Yeah.
Maybe.